Morning and welcome back to Sunday School. I hope you all had a good Christmas break. This coming Sunday we have Jacob's Dream, really a wonderful story. I hope you're excited for it. I'm excited for you that you get to share it. I don't get to share it with the kids, but you do. I get to share it with you. So Jacob's Dream. The story of Jacob is the story of a man who does not really listen to God or to his promises. It's the story of a man who thinks that he can get what he wants through cunning and deceit. And really, Jacob's cunning and deceitful tactics only cause problems, but it takes Jacob many years to learn that his blessing, the prosperity that he has is coming from God and is not a result of his own cunning and deceit. And through that whole time, all the mistakes that Jacob makes, God, however, despite Jacob's sinfulness, God continues to bless Jacob. Even sometimes when Jacob, like in our story today, Jacob has to run away because of his own sinfulness. Nonetheless, God's promises remain true, and God goes with him and provides for him and protects him and promises to bring him back. God's blessings do not come because of our obedience or our faith, but because of God's promises. And that's really the lesson to learn from Jacob, that God's blessings come from his promises, not from our cunning or our faith or our good works. So last time we had a Sunday school lesson, we heard about how Jacob deceived Esau, and Rebekah and Jacob together deceived Isaac and tricked Isaac into giving Jacob the blessing that Isaac meant to give to Esau. This, of course, made Esau very angry. Angry to the point where he vowed to kill his brother. He planned to kill his brother out of anger. What Jacob did, of course, was no excuse for Esau's anger. We know that despite our sin, Jesus took the punishment of our sin upon himself and died for us. And so we ought to show the same to others. Live under the cross. Live carrying our crosses. And Jesus says, whoever would follow me, pick up your cross. And part of bearing the cross is accepting evil that other people do to us and forgiving them as Jesus forgave us, learning to be like Jesus in that way. So Esau should have forgiven his brother despite what the sinfulness of Jacob, but Esau doesn't. And so the consequence is that Jacob needs to run away. He has to leave his home and his family because of his sin, as well as because of his brother's sinful attitude. His mother, Rebekah, realizes this and tells him he needs to leave. She goes to Laban, and she doesn't tell him that Esau is planning to kill Jacob. Maybe she doesn't think that Esau will believe it. Maybe she doesn't think that Jacob will believe it. Remember that Jacob loved Esau best. And so instead she talks about Jacob needing to go and get a wife from their relatives in Haran and not take a wife from the Canaanites. That certainly was true. It wasn't the reason why Jacob needed to leave right now, but it was a reason why Jacob did need to go back to Haran. It was important that Jacob take a wife from their relatives back in Haran and not from the Canaanites. So now Isaac blesses Jacob. And notice that it's at this point that Isaac gives to Jacob the blessing of Abraham. This is the first few verses of Genesis chapter 28. May God Almighty bless you, make you fruitful and multiply you, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you. So Isaac was not completely ignorant of God's plan. It's clear that Isaac knew that the blessing of Abraham was to go to Jacob, and he didn't give it to Jacob when he thought Jacob was Esau. He waited, and now that he knows he's speaking to Jacob is when he gives it to him. So all of the deceit that Rebekah and Jacob did to try and get this blessing to go to Jacob was unnecessary. Isaac was saving this blessing for Jacob, but anyway, they didn't trust, Rebekah didn't trust Isaac, and this is the result. So Isaac blesses Jacob, and Jacob leaves for Padan Aram to visit Laban. Laban was Rebekah's brother. Possibly remember that from the story of when Isaac married Rebekah. And so Jacob is going back to Padan Aram, where Rebekah's brother Laban lives, to stay with him for a little while until Esau's anger cools down. After he leaves, Esau sees that Isaac is happy that Jacob went to take a wife from Padan Aram and not from the Canaanites. And so Esau, trying to please his dad, takes a wife from the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites were the descendants of Ishmael, obviously, who was Isaac's half-brother, the son of Abraham and Hagar. But he already had Canaanite women. The Bible doesn't really tell us whether his father was pleased that he took another wife from the daughters of Ishmael, but he did anyway. So Jacob, on his way to Haran, leaves Beersheba, where they're staying at the moment, and journeys not too far to a place that was previously called Lud, but is now from now on called Bethel. And I'm sure there are maps around that you can look at to take a look at that. It's probably just a day's journey. It's not that far away. And there he took a stone and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. Most of the translations say ladder. The Hebrew word more likely means stone steps, which makes a little more sense. And it's usually the way it's pictured too, as stone steps, not really as a ladder, as we use the word. But the important thing is that this is the way up and down from heaven to God. And of course, we know that the bridge, the ladder between earth and heaven, the way to God for us is Jesus. And so in a little bit, we're going to look at John chapter 1, where Jesus himself says this, that he is this stairway between God and man, the path to heaven. Verse 13, Genesis 28, verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. A couple of interesting points there. First of all, the Lord stood above it. Most of the time when we have visions of God in heaven, he's sitting on a throne, almost always. But in this case, he's standing on top, at the very top of the stair of the stairway, is what it sounds like in the Hebrew. Now he's standing right at the top, which almost implies like he's ready to come down to be with Jacob. Certainly, he's looking down at Jacob. He's not sitting back, distant, but drawing near to Jacob, and that's the very promise that he gives to Jacob. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac, and I'm going to be your God too. You're leaving the land, but don't worry, I'm going to bring it back to you. Verse 14, also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So we can go back and compare what God says to Jacob here to what he says to Abraham and Isaac, and you'll notice that it's the same blessing. The same promises that he gives to them, he now gives to Jacob. It's worded slightly different, but the main points are there. Remember what the main points of the blessing of Abraham was that God would be with him, God would bless him, God would make him a great nation, God would give him the land of Canaan, and above all other things, in him all the earth would be blessed, which is, of course, a reference to Jesus. So make sure to emphasize that when you're going through the story. Call the student's attention to this, that through this family, all the earth will be blessed. And what does that mean? That means that Jesus would come from this family and that Jesus would be a blessing to all the earth. Maybe even take a time to stop and ask the kids, well, how is Jesus' coming a blessing for you, especially since we just had Christmas? So notice these same elements in what God says here to Abraham. I will give you this land. He's still in Canaan at this point, and this land which he's in right now will be given to his descendants. Your descendants shall be dust as the dust of the earth. You shall have numerous descendants, a great nation. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 15, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. You could pause there with the students as well and draw their attention to what does God say? Where is God? God specifically promises Jacob, I am with you. Where is God? He is with Jacob. Now, of course, God is omnipresent. He exists everywhere at all time, but this is a special with you, a with you that promises his protection and his blessing, that he's going to watch over Jacob and be with him. And that's going to be important in another verse, too. Where is God? He is with his people. He is with Jacob. That's the promise that he gives to Jacob. And even though you have to leave the land now, I'm going to make sure that you come back to it. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. So here again, you can ask the students, what does Jacob say wrong? He wasn't listening to God's promise, and that's very clear, because what does he say? He says, surely the Lord is in this place. Jacob thinks this spot, this land, is special and important, but that's not what God said, is it? God didn't say, I will be in this place when you come back here. God said, I will be with you. The place where God is dwelling with his people. There's the Christmas coming back into the story again. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Not God in that place, in that land of Israel, but God with us. A lot of people like to make trips to the Holy Land, which is fine. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to see the places that Scripture talk about. But some people make the mistake of thinking, well, they even call it the Holy Land, thinking that spot, that land, is more holy than other land. That's exactly the same mistake that Jacob makes here. Oh, God is in this place. He wasn't really listening to God's promise. Or he didn't really think about it or understand it, because he thinks, oh, this spot is where God is, instead of understanding the truth that God dwells with us. And God dwells with us as well. Verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Again, the house of God is with us. Not in one particular spot. And God is with us whenever we go to worship him. We can go to church, and the church is the house of God, not because of the building, but because God's people are there. And we can worship God in our homes, and when we worship God in our homes, then that's the house of God as well. Verse 18. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city had been Luz. Previously, Bethel means house of God. You guys probably know that, but certainly you point it out to the kids. So again, Jacob thinks, oh, this is the place, this is the house of God. He doesn't understand the very promise that God just gave him, that God would be with him, not in that particular place. And then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I can come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Again, Jacob, he doesn't get it, does he? Because he says, well, okay, you'll be my God if you do what you promise. God has already promised it. God, Jacob doesn't need to make a deal with God. Like, oh, you do this for me, then, okay, you'll be my God. God is already his God. He's already said that. He's already promised to be with him. He's not with Jacob because Jacob promises to give him a tenth of all that he's given. He's with Jacob because of his promise. So this whole story just shows how, you know, Jacob is like us. We don't want to look down on Jacob because we make all the same mistakes that he does, just not listening and not understanding God's promises and not grasping hold of those promises by faith. It's going to take Jacob a few years, but he will eventually get it. And that story is coming up when he finally does understand and grasp those promises of God. Now, we can hardly talk about Genesis 28 and Jacob's dream without jumping ahead to John chapter 1, the end of John chapter 1, where Jesus appears to Nathanael. We talked about this when we had this story in Sunday school, but we want to point it out here as well. In John, the end of John chapter 1, Philip, who has understood that Jesus is the Christ, goes to find Nathanael and says to him, "Oh, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Christ." And Nathanael doesn't believe really right away. But he comes with Philip to see Jesus. And Jesus, when he sees Nathanael coming, says to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Now remember that the name Jacob means deceitful one. And Jacob was renamed as Israel before. So Jesus' comment here is almost certainly a reference to this very story of Jacob. And that's going to be clearer even more so in verse 51. Because Jesus says to Nathanael, he's not like Jacob, the Jacob we meet in our story today, who tries to get his own way through deceit and cunning and craftiness, but he is like Jacob later when he is renamed Israel, one who has learned to trust in God's promise, one who is not deceitful and cunning, but one who has learned to trust in God's promise. And later on in verse 51, Jesus says to Nathanael again, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." A very clear reference to the dream of Jacob. Jacob saw that stairway to heaven, and now Jesus says very clearly, "I am that stairway. I am the path to heaven. I am the way that God comes to you through Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us, and in which you can then ascend to heaven through my sacrifice." Jesus is the one who talked to Jacob. He was the one standing on top of that stairway, talking to Jacob in the dream, but he himself is the stairway, the path to heaven. He makes that very clear. And so Jacob's dream is fulfilled for us in Jesus Christ, and the same promises that God gave to Jacob, "I will be with you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to the promised land." Well, for us, it's not back, because we've never been to the promised land of heaven, but someday he will bring us out of our journey in this life, our wanderings in this world, and bring us home to our heavenly mansion, just as he brought Jacob back from his wanderings back home as well. Well, those blessings on your Sunday school lesson. Let me know if you have any thoughts or questions. Thank you.